Hi, this is Daniel Garb with Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Hokusai, Hiroshige, Utamaro. These are the masters of ukiyo-e, Japanese block printing. They're images of great waves, courtesans, and journeys along the Tokaido Highway are recognized around the world. Ukiyo-e flourished in Edo, Japan, with the masters treated like superstars. But when the country modernized and westernized, the craft of woodblock printing began to fade. It lay moribund until an unusual influence, a Canadian craftsman, is helping to reawaken interest. Who is this ukiyo-e hero? Ukiyo-e Heroes is the name of a new feature which premiered at Hot Docs, Toronto's International Documentary Festival. It tells the story of two people helping to revive interest in ukiyo-e outside of Japan. Canadian David Bull, who learned the traditional craft despite all the obstacles imposed on him, and Jed Henry, an American obsessed with Japanese pop culture. The film is directed by LA-based Toru Tokikawa, known for his award-winning music videos. And I'm very pleased to have Toru and David here in studio to tell us more about Ukiyo-e Heroes. Hi, David.
Good, hold it down. Thanks.
Hello, Toru.
Hi.
Thanks so much for coming in, both of you.
Yeah. Pleasure.
Those Japanese words in the introduction there, you got those pronounced pretty well.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. Do you speak Japanese?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Yeah. And you do too.
I saw the film, both of you.
That would be great, except I don't think anyone listening will understand what we're saying. So, David, where did you first see your first ukiyo-e?
About three blocks from right where we're sitting right now.
Really?
Little gallery in Toronto back in, it would be 1977 or 78. There was an exhibition of Japanese prints, and I first saw them at that time.
And what did that inspire in you?
How can I make this up? I want to try making these things. Because it's not the image content, it was the object itself that was so beautiful. And I thought, I'd like to try making these.
And what did you do?
Tried making one. It was a total, absolute disaster.
Oh, and how did you go about trying to...
The point being, a woodblock print, I mean, how difficult could it be? You get a piece of wood, you cut a shape, you put some pigment on. So I thought, you know, I'd give it a try. And it worked out, but it didn't have anywhere near the beauty that I had seen in the real Japanese print. So try again, and try again, and here I am more than 40 years later.
And at what point did you take your craft to Japan?
This had been in the late 70s, and by the time 1986 came along, I'd been trying it as a hobby, getting better and better, bit by bit by bit. But in those days, no internet, no books, no nothing. So my job wasn't going very well. So whatever, pack it up, take my family. Let's try the next stage of a life adventure. I went to Japan.
And where in Japan did you go?
In Tokyo. I've just been in Tokyo for 31 years.
Oh, where in Tokyo?
I've lived all over the place. Right now, I'm in Asakusa, the best, absolutely best
part
of Tokyo.
That sounds ideal for, especially for woodblock printing.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's where it all started, really, many, many, many years ago.
So how were you able to learn the craft there?
The same way I was learning it in Canada, by self-study. I mean, this isn't one of those things where you go to school or you apprentice under some great master or something. It's simply try it and do it and try it and do it. I had some contact with craftsmen, of course, over the years, but mostly self-study, dokugaku desu.
So, Toru, you have a fascinating story yourself. You're Japanese-born, but you were raised in Indonesia and the United States.
Yeah.
And you could say you're a part of the Japanese creative diaspora, while David is the Canadian diaspora in Japan.
Yeah,
Japan.
You're
sort of
like
the opposites of each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you meet, and how did you decide to make it into a film?
Meet them?
Yeah.
Our company, as a production company, we're always looking for an interesting project or subject to document and make films. And our creative director just, you know, bump into their artwork on the net. And she showed it to me, and hey, you know, this is interesting, and maybe, you know, these guys could be a great, you know, we could make a great documentary on it. And I did a further research and found out that, you know, it's a team or a couple of, you know, old school, you know, craftsman and a, you know, game nerd, young designer. And I didn't quite get it at first sight because, you know, why these two quite a different individual working together? And I dug a little bit more about, you know, behind the scenes story. And I thought, you know, wow, you know, these different individuals are, you know, find their, you know, love and bonding, everything, by making incredible stuff. And I really like the, you know, human story behind that.
So, David, maybe you can pick up there. How did you meet Jed?
So, what we've got here, remember, Japanese traditional prints in the old days were made by a team. It was never a one-man show like the Western image of it. We think of this Hokusai, the Great Wave. He never touched the woodblocks and never touched the paper, of course. He just designed it. And we pick up on that. It's what they call the ukiyo-e quartet, actually, a publisher with a business idea, then a designer, then a carver or team of carvers, and a printer or team of printers. And for me and Jed is the designer. He has full control of that part of it, and I'm the actual guy who makes the stuff, the physical making. So, and that's our partnership.
But how did you meet?
He contacted me. I've had my workshop for many years. I've had a webpage now for, actually this year it'll be 20 years. I've been on the internet for 20 years. And he's just Googling how to make woodblock prints in Tokyo or something like this, whatever it was. He bumped up to me and sent me an email saying, let's do this thing together.
Now, from what I understand, before you encountered Jed, your ukiyo-e were of a traditional subject.
Yes, exactly. I'm a maker, not a designer.
Right.
And as I said just now, so for me, who isn't a good designer, it's a wonderful thing to do just to pick up the old traditional works. There's no copyright in work that was 150 years old. So I took, for many years, I took the old traditional designs, carved them myself, and printed them myself. Doing very well, a little niche business, you know, not a global scale.
As a reproduction.
As reproductions, yeah. Of course, yes. No, not original work at all.
But with Jed, can you describe the sort of things he introduced to the block prints you made?
What it's done is we've gone back in time 200 years. In the old days, of course, it wasn't reproductions. Some kabuki actor on the stage. Pop culture of the day was drawn out, carved and printed, and the people who bought the prints weren't buying art. They were just buying like bromides or photographs of an actor, stuff like this. And we're doing exactly the same thing. This is Jed's insight. Let's take pop culture icons of the today. It's not a kabuki actor on the stage. It might be some pixelated 8-bit character running around your TV screen, but they are pop icons nonetheless. Let's take it back to what it was 200 years ago, carve them and print them in this beautiful physical format and a perfect blend of analog and digital and take this craft forward to the future.
Yeah, in a way, so they did it wonderfully in a traditional way.
Yes, it's a perfect blend of the old and the new and the analog and the digital. So.
And tell me about some of the characters that appear in the current ukiyo-e you're working on.
Well, you name any of the top iconic 8-bit characters. You know, because we're doing parody work, we have to be aware of copyright issues. You know, we're not licensed to take any of these characters. We parody them. There might be a print that we've got that has a picture of a fox and a rabbit and a frog flying through the sky. And to you, if you don't know the game, there's these three characters on clouds and just what is this? It means nothing. But if when you were 13 years old on your living room floor, you had that controller in your hand and you knew this character of a fox flying through the sky, you know exactly who this is. Yeah.
This is radio, so no one can see. We're looking at some of his work here, and they're just magnificent. Now, modern printing, to print a colored print, takes four plates. Magenta, cyan, yellow,
CMYK
and black.
Process, yes.
How many blocks do you make for a single print?
It's individually for each print. Each print takes a number of different blocks. The one you're looking at right there, I think it has it's 8 pieces of wood carved on both sides. So it'll be 15 or 16 different printing impressions.
So why do you need so many?
It's flat color. It's not processed color. You know, we're printing physical pigment onto paper. So we literally grind colors, mix up a green in a bowl, cut a piece of wood that fits it, and rub green over the block to print green on the paper. You know.
How long does a single, if you make the blocks, how many copies can you make before it wears out?
Oh, many, many. We're nowhere near the wearing out. Many, many thousands.
Did you think it outlasts the paper or the paper also lasts
these
a long
blocks,
time?
If we tear them, these blocks are going to outlast me. My workshop will be using these blocks in the future long after I'm gone. This is it's a bit of a myth. People think about woodblock prints because contemporary artists like to put this thing in place that, oh, you and only 9 other people have a copy of this thing. It's because the blocks wear out. And it's not like that at all, actually.
They're very heavy, sturdy,
it's a strong
durable
mechanical
things.
Process. We take care of them very well. And we don't limit our editions. This is another part. In the old days, I mentioned pop culture. It wasn't art. There was no concept of limiting these things. It was just printing, and we are working in the same idea. We don't want this to be limited in any way artificially.
How are you greeted in Japan, or are you accepted in Japan?
They love what I'm doing. This was a moribund craft up till about 5 years ago. And now we're getting global coverage of this. The prints we make are going out to young people. I'm employing young Japanese people to do this thing. They love it.
So you have your own four-person team?
No, 18 people working for us. So we could three carvers, there's 6, 7, 8, 9 printers, 2 people packing full-time.
Are they apprenticing with you, or did they apprentice with
you?
We don't
call it apprenticing because the old system is broken down. People come here to my workshop to learn how to do it, and we train them at a certain level, and then bang, they go to work on simple prints.
And are they like arubaito? Are they working part-time, or this is their job?
They get paid. I don't split into Japanese. I'm sorry. The printers get paid for each sheet they produce. So this is really
like anime production.
Well, they're making it. We're having good fun at this, and we're well-respected by Japanese society. Very much so.
Now, in the film, you show all the different stages of the creation along with all the tools that are used. Yeah. How many people outside of David's craft are involved in the whole picture?
Well, actually, I didn't count.
So you didn't get them all.
There's about 20 different crafts.
When you look at one of these prints under nice light, you can actually detect, somebody who knows it, you can detect the hand of about 20 different people that are in here. Toru-san visited some of the main ones, the papermaker, because it's so visually attractive for filmmaking, the knife maker, sharp, you know, banging the out of the forge. The brush maker. I haven't seen this film yet, Toru-san. So who else is in there?
He won't let me see the damn thing. No, there's the wood carving.
The wood carving is me. That's the little metal thing
with holes in it. I don't even know what it was. There's a paint. Maybe it's an ink spreader. It's a tiny copper plate with little holes in it, or yellow.
It's a brush.
A brush.
In the film, the carving and printing that's obviously, I guess, is in this film. That's me because I'm carving and printing.
Right.
It's the background.
Tools that you use. So the tool makers and there was something that involves twisting a piece of string.
Yes. That's making this. This is a rubbing pad. That's insanely complicated to make this.
I thought it would just be a wooden print.
I tell you, a 90-minute documentary on its own for making those things. That would be a great thing for you.
There's a string.
And what is that called?
It's a baren.
Oh, okay. So interesting.
There would be about 20 people if you really wanted to sort of gather us all in a room together. There's 20 hands visible in that print. So
do you see ukiyo-e having a brighter future?
Absolutely. I mean, we're sending these things to people all over the world. We get an order the other day from Kazakhstan. People in Kazakhstan are now buying traditional Japanese woodblock prints, not because it's art, but because, oh my God, I want that picture.
So
it doesn't get any better than this.
Ironically, some people say that going online changes art to just a digital format, but it seems like people want the physical thing.
Absolutely. I mean, the images are there on our website. Download it, do what you want with it. But once people see, they watch our YouTube videos, they're going to see this documentary, the actual physical aspect of the craft. These days, people want to touch analog stuff.
But actually, on their website, there's a digital print and the real one. So the real, handmade ukiyo-e.
So a photograph of the print and a...
No. It's a printout from the Photoshop.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but does the website show photographs of a final print, or it shows the digital rendering of it?
Both. But, the original, handmade one is, I think there's only 10 designs, and it's an iPad size. Not too big. Yeah.
So...
But that's totally.
What connection, if any, did you have with ukiyo-e before you met David, before you made the film?
As an art form, I always like, ukiyo-e, and because, look at, it's a line drawing with a simple painting. It's exactly the same as anime, So the line work and everything, the beauty of it, the tradition is still vital in the Japanese pop culture nowadays.
Well, it's very. And do you have any final things to say to the listeners about ukiyo-e?
Well, thank you very much for helping me spread the word about this. And we ourselves are having great fun bringing this thing back to life. It wasn't our motivation to preserve and protect these traditions. It was just to make beautiful prints. But we have now found that both in Japan and people all over the world are very, very happy that these traditions are being protected and preserved in exactly the same way that they were created 150 years ago.
Fascinating. Thanks you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
David Bull is the subject and Toru Tokikawa, the director of Ukiyo-e Heroes, a new feature documentary that premiered at Hot Docs. To view David's work, go to ukiyoeheroes.com. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.